Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Sukkah Nun Gimel. So we spoke about the immense light, the illumination which would radiate forth from the Simcha space of Sheva, begins the Gemara Nun Beis, Amud Beis on the last line. There was no courtyard in Yerushalayim which was not fully illuminated by this light coming from the Beis HaMidosh, from those menorahs which were lit on the occasion of Simchas Beis HaSheva, Tana, we learned in the Braisa. Isha, hoisai by reres chitim, and Isha would pick out her grain, le'oirer shel Beis HaSheva, because of this light coming forth from the Beis HaMidosh. Tosis asks a kasha, what about Me'ila? You're allowed to divert Hegdish property for personal use. How can you use the light coming from the Beis HaMidosh for personal use? Answers, Tosis v'yishloimar b'yireres lav dafka, doesn't mean literally, it means it was so light that theoretically an Isha can make use of that light to clean her grain. So who were the performers? Chasidim v'anshei ma'asa, the tzaddikim, Tanu Rabbanan. What would they say in song and praise? Yesh mehen oimrim, some of them would say, thanking Hashem for their successful spiritual journey. Asher yaldoseinu, fortunate are we that our days of youth, shalei bisha esiknuseinu, didn't embarrass us today when we're older. Who said that? Elu chasidim v'anshei ma'asa. These are the tzaddikim who are good from day one, all the way through and through, from childhood, through adulthood, through older age. So they thanked Hashem for allowing them to have a life of purity from yaldus until ziknus. There were others who said, thank you Hashem, ashreya, fortunate are we that ziknusenu, that in our old age, shekipros yaldusenu, that our old age made up for our young age, meaning the zikna cleansed our youth. Elu bali tshuva. Who said this? The Bali Tshuva. So although they sinned in their youth, but they came back to Hashem and they thanked Hashem for that opportunity, that the Zikna was Mechaper for the Yaldus. Either way, both groups would say, Elu ve'elu Oimrim, all would come together and say, Ashrei Mishalei Chet, lucky is the fellow who never did a Chet. Umisha Chet. But if one does a Chet, there's always a way back. Yashuv, let him come back. V'yimchalei Hashem will forgive him. So these were the words that they would chant and they would express during Simchas Beis HaSheva, encouraging all to be good, to do tshuva, and that Hashem is waiting for us. Tanya, Amru Olav al Hillel Hazak, and the following was related regarding Hillel. When he would partake in this Simcha, what would he say? Amar, Cain, he would say as follows. And he would say it in the name of the Shechina. So he was sort of expressing the Shechina's sentiment. Imani kan, if I am here, meaning the Shechina, is in the Beis HaMidosh, as long as you keep me here, as long as you behave and you keep the Shechina in the Beis HaMidosh, HaKoil kan, all will continue flowing to the Beis HaMidosh. It's going to be the focal point of your life, of Kal Yisrael. But be careful from doing Chet. Vim eini kan, but if you do Chatoim and you sort of chase me away, all you're left with is the hard shell, the physical exterior, the structure of the Beis HaMikdash without any life within it. Mikan. Now if I leave, Mikan, who's going to continue coming here? The Beis HaMikdash will lose its value, will lose its spiritual essence, which is really the true essence of the Beis HaMikdash. Who are you, Omer? Hillel HaZaken would say furthermore, to the place where I love to go, the Beis HaMidosh, Sham Raglai Malichas Oisi, that's where my feet automatically take me on autopilot, without any kavana, without any plan. I'm automatically in the Beis HaMidosh, just by habit. Im Tovay El Beisi, furthermore, the Shechina speaking again, addressing Klal Yisrael, Im Tovay, Im Ata Tovay El Beisi, if you make sure to come here, to my home, to visit me, you consider this the focal point of your life. Ani ovei el beischa. I too, the Shechina as well, will come to your house to visit you in your private home, which is really sort of an extension of the Beis HaMikdash. because you consider this your home. I will bring bracha in your home as well. If you don't frequent my home, you don't relate to the makam hashchina, that's not the focal point of your life. Ani lo yavel beischa, nor will I come to your house. And you'll be lacking in bracha. Shenemar b'chol amokim ma'asher aski v'shemi. So the drush is, if you come to the place where over there I allow you to mention my name, the Yudke Vavke, which means the Beis HaMikdash, make sure to come visit me. Avoy elech oberachticha. Likewise, I will come to you and apply bracha to your home. Afu ro'a gulgoylos achas. Now we're going off on a tangent. Hillel HaZaken once noticed a gulgoylos achas, a skull, shetzofa apnei hamayim, which was floating on water. And he recognized it to have belonged to a bandit who was killed by other bandits. This is actually a Mishnah in Perkei Avos in Perek Beis. So what did he do? He saw the gulgoylos achas shetzofa apnei hamayim. Amla, he approached the Golgoylus and he addressed him and he said, Al da teft? Because you drowned others. This is fitting retribution. Mida keneged mida, measure for measure. Atfuch, others drowned you. But you meant to know. It doesn't end there. Hashem keeps track. Just because you were guilty doesn't mean that the one who committed the crime to you, the one who killed you, is innocent. Umetu fayich. Those who drowned you, yutoifun, they as well will become drowned. Meaning, the fact that a person is guilty and deserving of einish doesn't justify committing a crime against them. Unless it's the bezdin, unless it's something really l'shem shemayim, according to the Torah, but otherwise, if it's just one criminal getting on the case of the other one, it so happens to be that the victim was due that punishment, it's irrelevant. And the perpetrator will still get punished. As the Marmakas explains, Hashem is mazmin. Hashem prearranges these things. That a person who is guilty and deserving of a punishment should encounter a perpetrator who will inflict that punishment on him, but it doesn't absolve the perpetrator. It's all part of a chain reaction and goes on and on. So he's pointing out the depth of Hashgacha Pratis, that everything's mida keneged mida, perfectly tailored, the way it's meant to be. Continuing on a similar vein, a man's feet, his own 2 feet, inun arvinbe, serve as his guarantors. La'asar de midbi, to the place where he's meant to go, where they want to take away his neshama. So it's been preordained that his neshama will be taken away at that specific location. How does he get there? Taman, to that location. Mevilin Yase, his own legs carry him there. He'll end up exactly who he's meant to be, in order for the Malchum Avos to retrieve his neshama from that specific location. In fact, there was a story with Hanu Tarti Kushay, these 2 Kushim, Rashi says, Al Shem Shoyu Yafim, they were handsome. Kari Luhachi, they're called Kushim, Rashi in Chumash, in Baloischa, by the Ashes Moshe, which was called Kushis. Rashi brings that it's common to refer to a beautiful baby as an ugly child, to avert ayin hara. So sometimes the word kushi can be a substitute for handsomeness. So these 2 handsome people, David Kaimi Kami Shlema, they were serving before Shlema HaMelech. Their names were Alicharav Vachia, and they were Bnei Shisha, and they were Seifrim, the Shlema Havu. They were his scribes. It so happens that one day, Chazi L'malach HaMavis, David Ka'atziv. Shlema HaMelech knows the Malach HaMavis was sad. So he goes to Malach HaMavis, what's wrong? Why are you so sad today? Malach HaMavis responds, because in heaven they're asking me to retrieve the neshama of these 2 fellows who are sitting right here. Now the Marshal explains, Shlomo HaMelech figured that their time to leave the world has not yet come, and he was sort of being over anxious about it, the Malach HaMavis. So Shlomo wanted to get them out of the way to save them from Malach HaMavis. What do you do? Masrinu l'Seirim. Shlomo HaMelech took these 2 fellows and handed them over to the Seirim, the Shadim. He had access to all kinds of powers, Shadim and Masikim. He was a Melech over all powers in the world. So utilize the services of the Seirim or the Shadim. Get them out of here. Shadrinu l'mechoyzeh d'lud. He sent them away to the Luz territory. Rashi brings, based on the Gemara Sota, that Luz is a place where the Malach HaMavet has no access. In fact, as the Gemara elsewhere explains the reason, because in Luz they would only speak Emes, never word of falsehood, and Malach HaMavet can't have access to such a town. In fact, there's a story where one newcomer came to town, and suddenly people started dying. And they approached this fellow and said, tell us what you did. What brought about this change of our status, change of events? Suddenly people started dying. So he said, look, I'll tell you my son. What happened was my wife was washing her hair, and somebody came to the door and asked to speak to her. And I said, she's not available, she's not around. So there was some untruth there, and because of that, their immunity was taken away, and suddenly that Malach HaMavet had access to that town. So they chased him out, he left town, and things went back to normal. They were free of Malach HaMavet. So Shlomo HaMelech figured that would be a good place to send these two people to get them out of the Malach HaMavet's range. When they arrived to that town, they arrived right outside that town. They hadn't yet entered that town. Shechivu, suddenly they died. Lamachar, the next morning, Chazi Malach HaMavet. So the next day, Shlomo HaMelech meets the Malach HaMavet again. Davak Abadach. He's all jolly and happy. Amar Le'amai Badichas. He says, what's going on? Why are you so happy today? Amar Le'amai. So Malach HaMavet responds, you did exactly what I needed you to do. V'asar deboi minayu. That exact place where I was instructed to take away their neshamas. Ba'asar deboi minay tamon shad resinu. That's exactly where you sent them. I was told to take away the neshama at the gateway of Luz. That's exactly where I found them. Because of you, I was able to take them. Miyad, immediately Pasach Shlomo v'amar. Shlomo responded by saying, you can't outdo the plan. Ragloi debar inish. A man's own 2 feet, Inu Na'arvin Bay, they serve as his guarantors, La'at Tarda Midbi, to the exact place where he's meant to be, where they want to take him from. Tamon Mavilin Yosef, that's where they take him. Rechaim Shalevit says, a great lesson we learn from this Gemara, sometimes a person exerts great effort, getting shtadlus in a certain direction, and actually, as we see from this Gemara, it can be serving the opposite purpose. To be achieving results opposite of what are really good for him. So a person has to be careful. Go easy, let Hashem lead you. And ask for Siyat Lishmai. Don't try to beat the system as we tried over here and didn't work. Tanya, getting back to Simchas Beis HaSheva. Amar Olav al Rabban Shimon Gamliel. The following was related regarding Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Kshoy Yisamei Yach Simchas Beis HaSheva. When he would partake in that Simcha, he would perform a juggling act. Haya Naitel Shmoyne Avukis Shal Ur. He would take 8 fiery torches. Vezorek Achas, Naitel Achas, throw one, grab one. Ve'ein Noigo Yisubisu, without colliding. So this was a great talent show. We're going to see soon other tzaddikim would do juggling with different items. So it was a show of the town, but performed by tzaddikim. Ukshimishtach. Then he would proceed to perform this great acrobatic feat. He would bow down the following manner. Shumishtach v'noyit shnei gadol baritz. He would plant both thumbs on the floor. That's all. Supporting by thumbs. V'sheiche. He would bend down v'noyishik esaritzba and give the floor a kiss. Rashi says, al shem el pasik ki rotsu avodecho es avoneo. Your servants, felt a love to your stones, to your earth. So this was a display of dearness and ava to Hashem. So he would bend down, just supporting himself by his thumbs, kiss the floor, and pick himself back up by his own support. That was very strenuous, because all you have is your own muscles to pick you up, nobody holding you, nothing else. And nobody around there could even attempt to do this. V'zohi kida, and this is what the pasuk describes as kida. We find the word kida many times in Pesukim. It's this specific type of acrobatic act. Levi, achmi kido kamei de Rebbe. Levi, he performed this kida acrobatic act in front of Rebbe, Rashi says, because Rebbe was in a constant state of sorrow to atone for Klal Yisrael, and they from time to time attempted to enliven him a little bit, give him a little simcha. So he showed this act in front of Rebbe, the itla, and he started limping. He got injured. Says the Gemara v'hogar mele, it was this story that caused him to be limp. Amar Rav Elazar, it seems that there was something else that caused this limping. Elazar says, la'olam al yatiach adam devarim klapi mala. A person should always be careful not to toss disrespectful words towards Hashem. Shari adam gadol hitiach devarim klapi mala. There was a great man who did that. He wasn't really fully respectful to Hashem in his expression. The itla, and he started limping. He got injured. Umanai, who is this person, Levi? So we see that his expression to Hashem brought about this injury, and not the acrobatic act in front of Rebbe. And so the Gemara, Hava HaGarmalei, both together brought this about. So his expression to Hashem facilitated this injury later on, meaning he made him susceptible to the injury. Which he actually experienced when he tried to do this acrobatic act. Levi have a matayel kame Rebbe. Levi would put on a juggling act in front of Rebbe, betamni sakini, using 8 knives. Shmuel kame shvar malka. Shmuel would do this act in front of shvar malka, betamni mazgi, with chamra, with 8 glasses of wine. Abaye kame de Rab. Abaye would perform this juggling act in front of Rabba, but Tamani Bey with 8 eggs. Amri Labar Bobe, some say 4 eggs. Chassid David says that there are soides behind all these acts, the number of items, the type of item. There are soides, Api Kabbalah, everything has a meaning. Tanya, Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Kshayinu Smeich, Simchas Beisa Sheva. Following was related by Yeshua ben Chananya, who was one of the Levim who was actually a choir member in the Beis HaMikdash. He describes the frenzied schedule which they experienced during Chag HaSukkos. During Sukkot, when we had Simchas Beis She'eva, we didn't really experience sleep at all. It was just a marathon of events, day and night. Ketzad, how does this work? Shari Shayna Tamid Shal Shachar in the morning. Tamid Shal Shachar. So he participated in that carving. Misham letfila, from there directly to davening. Apparently, even during this Zman HaMikdash, they would daven. Not the nusach that we have today, but they would daven for the Mikdash's success, for Yisrael's success, etc. So that was the second stop. Misham, from there we continued on. Lekarva Musaf. From there, Misham letfila samusaf. Misham lebeis HaMedrash, to learn a little bit. Misham lachilushtia. From there we went to eat. Misham letfila sammincha, back to mincha. Misham, from there, the Tamat Shabin Abayim. So the day was over, but now the night schedule began. Mikan ve'elach l'simchas beis ha'sheva. From there, we continued on to Simchas beis ha'sheva, which went on the entire night. Until the next morning. It was time to start over again. There was no time to sleep. Eini, can that be so? That a person would go on days on end without sleep? Is that physically possible? From Rabbi Yechanan, Shvuah Shle Isha Shleshiyam. This makes a Shvuah. I make a Shvuah. I'm not going to sleep for 3 days. Impossible. Malkin, I say, he gets immediate Malkus. Because that mere expression is falsehood. It's impossible. V'yishan la'alta. You know what? Let him go to sleep right now. There's no need to wait until he needs to sleep. This Shvuah is impossible to fulfill. It's a Shvuah's Shav. So how can we say they went on for days and days without sleep? Rather, this is what he meant to say. It means to say we didn't really truly experience the true taste of deep sleep. They would just doze off on each other's shoulders. As a kasha, how could they sleep in the Beis HaMikdash without a sukkah? Without sukkahs. So two terutzim I saw. One is that Isaac ben mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. They were involved in mitzvah. They were exempt from other mitzvahs. Or some say there was actually a sukkah in the Beis HaMikdash to accommodate these situations. Continues the Gemara. So we spoke about the tzaddikim performing on the 15 steps leading from Ezer's Yisrael, the upper level, to Ezer's Noshim, the lower level. And they corresponded to the 15 chapters of Shir HaMaalos in Tehillim. Chamash Tishrei Maalos, Amalei Rav Chizda, L'Rahum D'Rabban. Rav Chizda turned to this Chacham D'Havakim, Misader Agad Tekameh. He was an expert in Agad, and he would present Agadis in front of Rav Chizda. So he says to him, Amalei, Shmielach, did you ever hear Pshat, the reason? Hani Chamash Tishrei Shir HaMaalos, Kineged Mi Amarim David? Corresponding to what did David HaMelech say those 15 Shir HaMaalos in Tehillim? What's the deeper meaning behind it? What was the catalyst to those 15 Shir HaMaalos? Amalei the Chacham responded, actually, I'll tell you. Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said as follows, B'shah Shekorah David Shitin. When David HaMelech excavated those shisin, those hollow cavities running under the Mizbeach all the way down to the core of the earth, as we had a couple of days ago, Rashi says apparently they filled up with debris, you had to excavate them. Kafa Tahima, suddenly underground waters began to rise. Uboy l'mishtefa alma, and about to flood the world. Amar David chamesh esrei shir hamalis. Immediately, David HaMelech went on to say 15 shir hamalis. Vayuridan, and the water receded. He put it back down where it belonged. So that's how we get 15 shir hamalis. Rav Chizda asks him, Yachi, if that's the reason, if that's the story behind the shir hamalis, Chamesh Esrei Maalos? Why are they called Chamesh Esrei Maalos, which denote elevation and lifting? Yordes Mibayli should have been called Shir Yordes. He said it to get the water down, not up. Amalei, so he responded, or Chizda himself said, Hoylevat Karta. You know, once we're speaking, you actually jogged my memory. Now I remember the correct pshat. Hachi Itmar, in fact, this is how we learned in the Beis Medrash. This is the story behind the 15 Shir HaMaalos. B'shah Shekor David Shisin, David HaMelech excavated those Shisin, Kafat Sahima, underground water began to rise, Uboil Mishtefa Am, was about to flood the world. Amar David, David declared, Mi'ika di Yad, is anybody here that perhaps knows the Halacha? How to deal with this? Ishtari L'michtav, is it mutter to write down shame, the name of Hashem, Achasp on a piece of pottery, V'nishti B'tahima, and have it tossed into the Tahim, Umanach, have the water to stay and recede? It's Masha from Rashi that he knew that would be a good solution, but he didn't want to paskin a halacha in front of Achitofel, his Rebbe. So he threw it out as a question. Does anybody know what he meant to do? Lack of the Karmelei Midi. Nobody wanted to respond. Amar David. David responded in frustration. Call the Yad al Meimar. Ve'eno Eimar. Whoever knows the answer and refuses to respond, Yichonek Begroina. You should get choked in his throat. The world's about to get flooded. What's going on? No, Sachitevel Kavachim Ba'atzma. Sachitevel, his Rebbe, started contemplating in Kavachim to figure out the halach, and he said, look, Uma Lasis Shalom bin Ishli Ishtai. If we find that in order to restore peace between husband and wife, in a case where Isha strays, she's a Saita, so the way to address it is by giving her that water to drink, by taking the Megillah of Saita, which has Hashem's name, and rubbing it into the water, and giving it to her to drink, that restores the peace if she's found to be clean. So Uma lasis shalom in ishli ishtai. If for the sake of restoring peace and harmony in one's family, Omra Torah. Torah says, I sacrifice my own covet, Shmi shenichta bikdusha. My name, which was written in holiness, Yimoch alamayim, could be rubbed into that water. To achieve this shalom, a higher purpose, which justifies this type of thing, certainly says Achitofel lasis shalom kolayim kulay. To bring about shalom to the world, to save us from flood, destruction, certainly Hashem wouldn't mind taking the Shem Hashem and using it for this purpose. Even if the Shem Hashem will get erased by the gushing waters, in this case. So the Farshim explained, it seems like David HaMelech was unsure whether using the Shem Hashem for this purpose is considered destruction. Pasuk says, you're not allowed to destroy Hashem's name. Is it called destruction? Or perhaps it's for constructive purpose, to save the world. That's not called destruction. That's not Ibud, that's tikkun. That was a shaila. Chateifel concluded that it's mutter. Amarle shari, so he turned to Dov and he said, it's mutter. You're allowed to do it. Go ahead. In fact, Kosav Shem Achaspa, David Melech wrote Hashem's name on this pottery, Vishad the Tahim, I tossed it into the Tahim, Vinachis Tahim, and the Tahim waters receded, Shitzar Alfig Armidi. It went down 16,000 Amois, all the way down to the Tahim. Kichazi Dinachis Tuva, when David saw that the water went down really far, that's also not so good. Omar, he figured, Kama de Midli, as much as it rises, tvei, the more it rises, mirtiv alma. It's going to bring about some moisture into the world, which is necessary for agriculture, for development. So too wet is harmful. Too dry is also detrimental. You need somewhere in between. Omar, so as a result, he said, chamesh estrei malis. Oh, here it's malis. So each capital brought the water back up a bit. So he said a total of 15 ma'alis to bring up the water, to bring it closer to the earth's surface. And he brought up the water, 15,000 amis. And he stopped it at 1,000. So originally it went down 16,000 am. Each one of the 15 shir amalis brought the water level up another 1,000 am. And it stopped at 1,000 below the earth's surface, which is just fine. It's close enough, but far enough. So now we understand why they're called Shir HaMalis, because they brought about rise in water level. Amar Ula Shmamina, we can learn from here, Sumcha Da'ara, the thickness of the earth's crust, until the Tahim, is Alfi Garmidi, 1,000 Am, until we get to the waters of the Tahim, which are situated right there. Really, says the Gemara, v'chazinan, but we see the karinan purta, as soon as we dig a bit, v'naf gimai, suddenly water oozes out. Even within a short distance. Amar of Mesharashia, that's not from the time. Hahu, that water is coming, misulma de paras. Paras was this river in bubble, and it was a very high river. And as Rashi explains, that river would run through underground channels and could be found in all the areas surrounding that country, Babel. And even if you're on a mountain, you know, water just gravitates back to its original level. So wherever you are in that area, you can discover water coming from Pras, which is a source for many other rivers, etc. And it's not necessarily time related. Rather, it's river related. Continues the Gemara. So the Kehanim, during Simchas Beis HaShoeva, would blow their trumpets. They would start on top and then come down the steps. Va'omdu Kehanim b'shar el yishayirid. And once they get to step number 10, they blow again. Bo'yirab yirmiyah, what exactly is step number 10? So we have 15 in total. Where is number 10? Are you counting this way? Are you counting this way? L'mala asiris, when you say they got to step number 10, the nochas chamisha. Means they went down 5. Vikoya asura, they were standing at next step, which is 10 to go, 10 left. That's called step number 10. Oidilma denochas asura. Perhaps they went down 10. Vikoya chamisha, and they were standing on step number 5, meaning 5 left to the bottom. That's called 10 from the top. Teku unacho. Tanu rabbanu mimash mashenemar pneim kedma. Pasuk says that these individuals in the first place of Midrash were facing Kedma, to the east. And then the Pasuk says, and their backs were towards the Heichal, towards Hashem. Once it says, Upneim Kedma, they're facing the east. Eini yedei shechareim al Heichal Hashem. Don't I already know that their backs are facing the Heichal? If their face is facing east, then of course their back is facing the Heichal. Right? They're leaving the Beis HaMikdash, towards the east. And their back is towards the Heichal. Eini yedei shechareim al Heichal Hashem. So why does the pasuk have to add that? Elamata malayma achirei malhechal Hashem. Their backs were toward the heichal. Apparently, it was more than just direction. Malamisho yupir and atzman. It's indicating that they uncovered their back, their bottom, vatrizen klapi mata, and they tended to their needs towards Hashem. And there was a gross grossly disrespectful act exhibited by the individual during Bais Rishon. And now, as we learned in the Mishnah, now in Bayis Sheni, they would see to contrast their own behavior, which was loyal to Hashem and committed to Hashem, versus what went on during Bayis Rishon when they rebelled in Hashem. So then they rebelled, but now today, Anu Lakav L'Kayinenu, we are to you, Hashem, we're totally devoted and committed to you. Eini, says the Gemara, how can you use a repetitive lashon when addressing Hashem? Anu laka l'kayinenu. It's not meant to do that, because it appears like you're addressing two separate powers. V'amar b'zeiro k'la'imar shema shema. If a person repeats the pasuk shema twice, it's problematic. Kilu amar moedim oedim. It's as though he would say moedim anach loch and again, which sounds like he's thanking two powers. So why would they say it in this manner? Anu laka l'kayinenu. Elochi amri. Rather, this is what they meant to say. They were expressing two separate sentiments. It's not considered repetition, because firstly they were saying, Heva mashtachvim kedma, in contrast to our forefathers, who rebelled in you. And they bowed kedma to the east towards the sun. And basically what they were saying is, they weren't trying to be boastful, they were just saying, look, we're makabel the din that you meted out on them, because unfortunately they weren't loyal to you. So in contrast to their inappropriate behavior, we are committed to you. We bow to you, we believe in you, we're devoted to you, we're your nation. That's number one. That's anulaka. We believe in you, Hashem, only in you. And then they continued, and we are looking forward to you, meaning we rely on you, we're dependent on you, we're secure in your love for us and the fact that you're leading us. So two separate things here. One is Anulaka, we committed to you. That's Emunah. And number two, we're dependent upon you. So two separate things. Continues the Mishnah. We know that in the Beis HaMikdash they would blow chatzotzeres, trumpets. Instead of shofaros, they would use a chatzotzeres, a trumpet. Now there are two aspects to blowing. One is min haTorah, during the Shira of a Karban, when they would pour the water, the wine, I mean, and the Levim would say Shira, would say those Prakim and Tehillim, like we say at the end of davening. Every day was a different Shira during that Krovas HaKarban, and they would actually pause three times during that Shira. At each pause, they would blow the Chatzotzeres, would be a tkia, right? A straight sound, a trua, a broken sound, and another tkia, a straight sound. Tkia, trua, tkia. So during the Talmud Shel Shachar, for instance, Talmud Shebin Abayim, the Musafim, they would have shira with tkias. So each Talmud Shel Shachar would have how many tkias? Well, you broke three times, right? Three times you'd stop for a tkia, and each tkia would be a set of tkia, trua, tkia. So it would be three times a set of three, for a total of nine. So the tkiyah is during Karbanis women at Torah. But when the Rabbanon, they added many more tkiyahs on account of various occasions, as we're going to see in the Mishnah. So how many tkiyahs at a minimum would they blow daily? And how many maximum? On a typical day, there was no less than 21 blows. But no more than 48. So throughout the year, it was a minimum of 21, a maximum of 48. The Mishnah explains. On a daily basis, you had 21 tekiyas. How? Three blows when they opened the gates of the Azorah, which was a signal to the Kehanim, the Levim, Israelim, come take your posts. We're starting the days avoided in the Mikdash. So it's a tekiyah, a true and a tkiya. That's three. V'teisha lo tamid shel shachar. During the tamid, they had the shira. They took three breaks, three pauses during the shira. A set of blows per pause for a total of nine. V'teisha lo tamid shel arbayim. This repeated itself again in the afternoon. So it was three, nine, and nine for 21. That's typical. Ube mesafen hayu mesifen aycheisha. On a day that there was a musaf, another shira, another nine blows. Uber of Shabbos, Hayim Mesifin Sheish. And Erev Shabbos, they add another six. to serve as signals. Shalish lahaftalist am melacha. Three blows to indicate it's time to close up the shop. It's time to cut business for the day. It's almost Shabbos. Vishalish, another three blows lahavdil ben kodesh lachol, to indicate a differentiation between weekday and Shabbos. From here on in, it's really Shabbos. There's another six. Erev Shabbos shebetech achak, hoyisham arba mishmaina. If it's Erev Shabbos in the middle of Sukkos, you have Nisuch HaMayim with another 12 for Nisuch HaMayim, so you get to 48. How do you get to 48? You already had 36. And I have another 12 on account of Nisuch HaMayim. How's that? Shalosh L'Psicha Shar. Three blows when they open the gates of the Ezer, standard. Shalosh L'Shar Elyon. Now we're going to have blows which are uniquely on account of Nisuch HaMayim. So three, L'Shar Elyon. The Kehana would position himself at the upper gateway, coming from the Ezer Yisrael. Three blows right there. V'Shalosh L'Shar Tachtin. And they came all the way down to the Ezer Nashim, and they walked towards the Shara Tachin, the Shara Mizrach, they would blow again, so it would be another 1, 2, 3. V'sholosh L'milia Mayim, when they came back through the Shara Mayim, another three blows. V'sholosh Al-Gabim Mizbeach, there were three blows when they positioned the Arabis around the Mizbeach. So we have a total of 12, which were uniquely for Sukkos. Three Shara Elyon, three Shara Tachin, three Milia Mayim, and three on the Mizbeach. So this is 12 for Sukkos. Teisha l'tamid shel shachar, nine during the tamid shel shachar, v'teisha l'tamid shel rabbi, another nine in the afternoon, v'teisha l'misafin, right, it was a musaf, because it's Sukkos, although it's Erev Shabbos, but it's Sukkos. There's another nine for the shira of the musaf, and because it's Erev Shabbos, I have to add those six as well. Sholosh l'haftos am melacha, to indicate that it's time to stop working. V'sholosh l'havdil ben kodesh l'chol, to indicate that it's actually Shabbos, starting any second. So how do we get to 48? So we had the standard 21. Right? Three was Psichas Sha'arim. We had nine for Tamid Shel Shachar. Nine Tamid Shel Arbaim. So that's standard 21. We had nine for Musaf. Gets you to 30. We have those six for Erev Shabbos, 36. And we had 12 on account of the Mayim. Total of 48. Now it's interesting that the Mishnah seems to count each blow as a separate entity. 21 blows, 48 blows. Although they're really consisting of sets. Right? They wouldn't blow a tekiah separately. It would be tekiah, through a tekiah. But each one's counted as a separate number. Mas nisim blow kerb yudah. Apparently, it's not like Rabbi Yehuda, who considers tkiyah through tkiyah as one. Each set is considered one mitzvah, inseparable. So he cites different numbers. He's not arguing on the facts, it's just a different way of relating to them. At a minimum, you blow seven. So instead of 21 that we mentioned, it's seven, because it's seven sets of three. And he considers a set like a single unit, one mitzvah. At the most, you do only 16. That's really the same thing. It's 48, just divide into threes. So according to our Mishnah, each tekiah, true tekiah, is considered a separate mitzvah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, each set is an inseparable mitzvah. It's one unit. But Mike and Miflagi, what is this machlok is based on? Rabbi Yehuda savar, tekiah, utriah, utkiah, achasi. He considers all three blows as part of one unit, one mitzvah. And therefore, instead of calling it 21, he calls it 7. The Rabbana Savri, Tekiah L'chud, or Tru L'chud. According to Rabbana, each blow is separate from the next. It's a separate mitzvah. So it's 21, it's 48. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda, where's Rabbi Yehuda coming from? Amar Kroa, Utkatem Teruah. Blow a Teruah. Apparently, Teruah, Tekiah, synonymous. And it's considered one experience. For Rabbanan, they learn from there. It's coming to teach you that every trua has a flat sound before and uninterrupted sound afterwards. So it's tkiya, trua, tkiya. That's what we learn from this pasuk. It's katem, then trua. V'rabbanamai tamai, where did Rabbanan come from? How did I know that each bowl is a separate mitzvah? T'chsivu b'hak l'sakol tisku v'loy tariu. Hashem instructed them in the Midbar to summon Klal Yisrael by way of a signal. How do you get everybody together? Together, you go ahead and you make a tzkiah without a trua. Now, if you maintain that tzkiah and trua go together, would it make sense that the pasuk would say, "Palga the mitzvah of it, do half the mitzvah, upalga the yavid and ignore the other half"? If tzkiah and trua are inseparable, it's one experience, it's one mitzvah, it's one act, it's one unit. How do you separate between the two? There it says when you summon Klal Yisrael, just do the tzkiah. It's half a mitzvah. Apparently, say the Rabbanan, each blow is separate from the next. For Rabbi Yehuda, as he responded to this raya, Hahula simana ba'alma hu da'asa. That type of tekiah is different than the tekiah that we do on the curb. It's just a signal. It's just sounding like an alarm. And over there, you can have a tekiah without a trua, but typically in the Beis HaMikdash, it's one set and inseparable. Rabban will respond to that response of Rabbi Yehuda. You're right, simano is true. It's just sounding an alarm. It's just a simon. It's a signal. Rachmana shavi mitzvah. We do find that Torah considers it a mitzvah. You can only signal by way of a tekiah. So the fact that Torah allows you to do tekiah without a trua, that's indicative of the fact that tekiah is independent of trua. So bottom line is, Rabbi Yehuda maintains that tekiah, trua, tekiah is considered one inseparable unit, one continuous mitzvah. But to Rabban, each segment is separate. Now, what would be the nafkamina? Aside from semantics, what's the nafkamina between considering them one and separate? So Rashi says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you cannot be mafsik between the two things. Take a look at the bottom line in Rashi. He says, V'loy klum loy hoya mafsik ben taim el kadei neshima. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can take a breath between the tzkiah and the trua, and that's it. But no more than that. I meant to allow for a longer pause. It's one mitzvah, it's one blow, so to speak. A breath, yeah, but no more. Whereas according to Rabban, you can allow for a greater pause than that. Because they're separate mitzvahs. Some Rishonim add to that. They say that you can't even take a breath. It's like the Aseres Bnei Haman. You can't take a breath between the tzkiah and the trua and the tzkiah according to Rabbi. It's one continuous blow, even though there's different parts to it, different sounds, but it's one mitzvah, one masa, without any pausing in between at all. Whereas according to Rabban, you can't pause. And in fact, there is a halachic nafkamina on Rosh Hashanah. If you pay attention, at some points the Baal Tekeh will take a breath between the Shvarim Trua, and at sometimes he won't. And the Machlokes Rishonim about it. And it's based on this Gemara. Tur brings both days. He says, you should be machmir to do something like this, something like that, because the Shvarim Trua is certainly one thing. Shvarim Trua is one continuous koil. We're not sure how it's meant to sound, so we do all kinds of variations, but the Shvarim Trua is considered one sound. So according to the Rishonim, that whole Lefi Rabbi Yehuda, when it's one mitzvah, has to be done continuously without even a breath in between. So what does that tell us about one koil that has to be uninterrupted without a neshima at all? So Shvarim Trua has to be done without any interruption, without even taking a breath. Whereas according to the other Shita, Shita's Rashi, even if it's one mitzvah, you will allow for a breath. So the Melech Tekeh does something like this and something like that to account for both Shitas. Continues the Gemara, two lines from the bottom. Keman Ozla Hadamar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana made a statement. We want to know, in accordance with whose Shita, Rav Kahana state his Aloch. He said that Ein Bein Tekeh L'Trua V'Lo Klum. Between the Tekeh and the Trua, there was no pausing. Rashi says, no hefsek except for a breath. Rashi L'Shitase, right? You can have a breath between the two things. Otherwise, don't allow for a longer pause. Kiman K'Rab Yehuda. According to whose Shita was it said? Apparently Rabbi Yehuda. It's one mitzvah, no interruption. Says what Pshita, of course. What are you trying to tell me? Of course it's Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbanan, you can allow for a greater pause than that. So what's the point of this discussion? Of course it's Rabbi Yehuda. Ma'od Tamer no, says the Gemara. Perhaps I would say, afilu k'Rabbanan. Then Rav Kahana was not following Rabbi Yehuda, he was following Rabbanan, and he was trying to tell us a different halacha. You can take a small pause, but make sure it's not too lengthy. Lafukim de Rabbi Yechan, as opposed to Rabbi Yechan, the Amar, Shama Teisha Tkiyos. This is on Rosh Hashanah when we blow 9 blows. Right? It has to be 3 sets. Each set has 3 blows. Malchus, Tchonis, and Shofar. We're not sure what the Teruah is, so we do all kinds of variations. But technically, 9 Tkiyos are enough. Now let's say he dispersed it throughout the day. Shama Teisha Tkiyos, he heard his 9 Tkiyos, but Teisha Shofar B'yayim. All throughout the day. 9 hours, 9 tkiyas. So 1 tkiyah per hour. Yatsa. Kontra Bechel is Yotze. Even though the half second between the tkiyas was very lengthy, Taisis explains, it was Shaha Kede Ligmar school. It was enough time to finish the entire set. Rabbi Yechon maintains, no harm was done, is Yotze. And perhaps Afghana was coming to disagree with that. Even according to Rabbanon, a lot to be mafsik between the set, inside the set, but not to this extent, to allow you to finish the entire set, the entire sequence of tkiyos, that's too much of a hafsek, too much of an interruption, they no longer relate to each other. Perhaps that's all he's trying to say. He wasn't following Rabbi Yehuda, he allowed a small, short pause, just make sure it's not too long, as opposed to Rabbi Yechon, who allows even that. Kamash Malon, that's why the Chiddush and the Gemara know that Rav Kana was in fact following Rabbi Yehuda. And all he was saying was, don't make any hafsek between the tkiyah and the teruah. How do you know? Ve'imachinami. How do you know? Maybe he was following Rabbanon. Just don't make too long of a pause. Im kein ma'ivuloi klum. If that would be the case, what does Rav Kahana say? Between tkiyah and teruah, make sure there's v'loi klum, there's no hafsek at all. That sounds like a Rabbi Yehuda type of language. Don't leave any hafsek in between, because he was following Rabbi Yehuda and he holds that tkiyah, teruah, tkiyah is one continuous mitzvah and has to be done continuously. Alright, so what did we learn today? We learned about the tzaddikim and the Bali Tshuva expressing their thanks and appreciation to Hashem for allowing them to reach that milestone. We learned about Hashem's Hashkocha Pratis. He runs the world with perfection and everything is predetermined, predestined. We learned about the juggling acts and these acrobatic feats presented by the Chachamim. We learned about David HaMelech and his experience with the floodwaters coming from the Shisin. And we learned about the Tkiyas and the Migdash, minimum 21, maximum 48. Kod Rabbi Yehuda, every set is one mitzvah. Kod Rabbanon, every segment is a special mitzvah. Kol Tov to you and Hatzlacha Rav.